Joshua chapter 11. When Jabin, king of Hazor, heard it, he sent to Jobab, to the king of Shimron, to the king of Aksaph, to the kings who were on the north in the hill country, in the Arabah, in the lowland, in the heights of Dor, to the Canaanite, Amorite, Hittite, Perizzite, Jebusite, and Hivite. They went out, they and all their armies, with the many people, as the sand that is on the seashore in multitude. Well, that's the description used about Abraham's seed, that they would be as many as the sand on the seashore. So this is like a kind of a fake Israel. Just as the world around us appears to be the kingdom of God and the, as it were, the people of God when they're not at all. So they come out with very many horses and chariots. Now God had told his people in the law that they were not to have horses, that is, war horses and chariots. It's a bit like telling a country today, you mustn't have guns, you mustn't have tanks, you mustn't have aeroplanes, you mustn't drop bombs, but you've got to go out to fight. It would have seemed rather ridiculous. Anyway, all these kings met together and encamped together at the waters of Merom to fight Israel. Yahweh said to Joshua, "Don't be afraid because of them, for tomorrow at this time I will deliver them up all slain before Israel. You shall hamstring their horses and burn their chariots with fire." They weren't to kill the horses, they were to hamstring them, that is to make a cut on their leg. This means that they could be used for agriculture, for pulling ploughs, but not for charging into war and pulling chariots, and the chariots were to be burnt. It's like saying, yep, you're going to capture all their tanks, but you've got to destroy their tanks, or you've got to cut the guns off their tanks and you can use the tanks as tractors on your farm. That was a sort of equivalent. So Joshua and all the people came against them by the waters of Merom and fell on them, and Yahweh delivered them into the hand of Israel, and they struck them and chased them to great Sidon. Joshua did to them as Yahweh told him. He hamstrung their horses and burnt their chariots with fire. Now, although it doesn't say this, I bet there were lots of Israelites who said, Joshua, that's stupid. We could do with these horses and chariots. Then we would be better armed. And as Paul says, there are times when we are fools for Christ's sake, when we do not do that which appears to be humanly wise and smart, because of our faith and trust in God. Joshua turned back and took Hazor, struck its king with the sword. For Hazor used to be the head of all those kingdoms. They struck all the souls who were in it with the edge of the sword. There was no one left who breathed. He burnt Hazor with fire. And archaeologists have dug up Hazor and have found that indeed it was burnt at one stage around this time. Anyway, it says that he struck all the souls and left none of them breathing. Well, clearly enough, a soul is a person, because a soul can breathe. It means he killed all the people, the persons there. So the soul is not something immortal that goes on living after you're dead. It really means the person, SOS, save our souls, save us. So we don't have anything immortal within us naturally. Life and immortality is only revealed to us through the gospel, through the work of the Lord Jesus. Joshua captured all the cities of those kings, and he struck them with the edge of the sword and utterly destroyed them as Moses the servant of Yahweh commanded. As for the cities that stood on their mounds, Israel burned none of them except Hazor only. Well, that means that some of the cities they did leave, and we're told later on that the Israelites actually lived in houses which they had not built. And so I think that those cities which were on their mounds, they left and they inhabited them. The children of Israel took all the spoil of those cities with the livestock as spoils for themselves. As Yahweh had commanded Moses his servant, so Moses had commanded Joshua, and Joshua did so. He left nothing undone of all that Yahweh commanded Moses, so Yahweh captured all that land. After making war a long time with all those kings, there was not a city that made peace with the children of Israel, except the Hivites, the inhabitants of Gibeon. They took all in battle. So Joshua is the Hebrew form of Jesus. think the idea is that Jesus possessed the kingdom. He drove out all the obstacles that are in the way between you and me getting into the kingdom. But as we know, the Israelites didn't follow up on that victory. They just eventually got a bit of land and were happy making their little farm, and they didn't actually possess the land, even though Joshua had won all the military victories. On the cross, Jesus, as it were, killed the devil. He overcame the power of sin, and yet we've got to follow up on that, and that's where we often fail. So, no city made peace with Israel apart from Gibeon, for Yahweh hardened their hearts to come against Israel in battle, that he might utterly destroy them. That implies to me that God can work directly on the human heart, on the human mind, and this is the whole point of the work of the Holy Spirit, that in a positive way, God can work directly on your spirit, on your heart, if that's what you want. And negatively, in this way, they harden their hearts, like Pharaoh hardened his heart, and God also hardened his heart. I think also it shows that if any of these people had come to Israel, and like the Gibeonites did, and say, oh, look, we want to make peace with you. Yeah, we know that this land is given to you by God, but we want to worship your God. I think the implication is that they wouldn't have destroyed them, but actually nobody apart from the Gibeonites actually did that. And so they were destroyed. And again, that sort of worked out for good in the bigger sense, that it enabled the Israelites to possess the land, or potentially, because Joshua therefore fought with all the kings. Joshua came at that time and cut off the Anakim, that's the giants from the hill country. Well, there were none of the giants left apart from in Gaza, Gath, and Ashdod did some remain. Goliath came from Gath. So you see that if you don't absolutely root out sin, if you think, yeah, but did most of it, just leave a bit left. You see, human nature being what it is, it will grow again. So Joshua took the whole land, and Joshua gave it for an inheritance to Israel according to their divisions by their tribes. The land had rest from war. Just like Jesus, who, as I say, is the same name as Joshua, he took the kingdom, and yet it is for us now to go in and inherit it.